This is Sylvester McCoy, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
I pay paid services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 261. I'm Adam, and what you need is a jolly good smacked bottom. Therefore, here's Mary Lang.
We are the masters of Earth.
And Debbie Melrose.
If we stick together long enough, I'll learn to do what you say first time.
And Kirby and Andy are on the naughty step and will not be added to this conversation until I say so.
So, I thought I'd use my rough voice to advantage today.
You'll be careful because people won't think it's a rough voice. I think it's a sexy voice, Mary.
Oh, well, thank you.
Anyway, right. I might have to go and take a rest in a moment. Right, talking of rest, I've got a can of Stella here.
I think you should put them on. I think they've stewed long enough.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll add one of them. Who should we add? We'll add Andy. Right, come on in. Andy. It was funny that everybody agrees with Andy.
Definitely. Quite right too. Whatever. Yes, definitely.
Right,
happy Easter, folks.
Yes, right. You've got to do your quote now, Andy, because we've done the introductions to the show.
Well, since I don't know what the quote is, I'm going to now go with what my quote is, which when I can get it back on screen, is probably fairly obviously, one day I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back. Until then, there must be no regrets, no tears, no anxieties. Just go forward in all your beliefs and prove to me that I am not mistaken in mine.
Excellent. Shall we take Kirby off the naughty step now?
Kirby's
coming off the naughty step as we speak.
Thank you.
I hope he doesn't swear.
Who, me or Kirby?
No, Kirby.
Kirby.
He's probably wondering why it's been so long. Hello,
yeah,
Kirby.
What happened? What happened, folks?
You two were sent on the naughty step because you tried to contact me before I was ready. So,
no,
naughty
I didn't.
Step. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I tried to contact people because no one was there, so I wonder where everybody was.
Well, it said Kirby and Andy. Did you all say Kirby and Andy, Debbie?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Guilty as charged.
No, you called us, and then I answered, and then you weren't there, and Andy was there.
I didn't call anybody because I wasn't ready. And I got a call come through, and I wasn't ready.
Oh, therefore, Andy caused it.
Oh,
okay.
Andy, was it? But your name was attached to it, Kirby.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Anyway.
I've never made a call.
Haven't you?
Master?
Yes. Yes.
On a completely different subject.
Hang on, before we move on to another subject, are you denying this? And you're claiming I'm blaming Andy for this particular...
We need your quote, Kirby.
Yes, yeah, we've all done our quotes. We're waiting for you now.
What? At least make it a speech like Andy did.
No, you haven't.
Yes, we have. Are we going to go through this whole blooming pantomime? Are we going to go through this whole thing? Oh, yes, you have. Oh, no, I haven't. It's
you
behind
we've started,
you.
We've started recording?
No, I've started recording. You're podcasting.
But we got into argument 101.
Yes. Oh, dear. And everybody's healthy, apart from the two girls.
Yeah. We're brilliant, we are.
Yes. So, quote time. Oh, is
or
it?
Who?
You! This is slick.
You usually introduce me.
I all right, I'm Kirby Bartlett Sloan. Quote time.
What are these two men doing here?
We're podcasting, Kirby. Good grief. Yes, it's quite interesting to note that that Andy and Kirby, even though that we'd already done our quotes, ladies, still didn't manage to duplicate our quotes. So,
but so many good quotes in this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
absolutely.
I've got about 20.
I missed Kirby completely because I went offline because I got cut off and then you come back online, so I never heard what Kirby said.
Well, you didn't miss anything.
Oh, right. You didn't miss anything. Forget about me.
Yeah, but you did miss what I said.
I missed what everyone said because I didn't believe we'd started.
Well, you were wrong because we had.
So what did you say, Adam?
It was really good, wasn't it, girl? Stop coughing in my ear hole.
Must have been good.
Yeah. Good Lord.
So, master.
Yes.
Master. May I tease you for your being so close to that amusement park?
Yeah.
And not going very often, I drive
so close to it.
I looked it up. I looked up cows. I looked up cows. I looked up where Black Gang Chin.
Yeah, like you look up cows. Sorry, you like looking up animals.
Yes, well, yes, we've established this before, actually.
And, and I drive further than that to get to work one way.
Well, can I say something about that? Well, whoopee do.
And I'm considered working close to where I living close to where I work for the Atlanta area.
Island roads are really different. It even says it when you get off the ferry on the Isle of Wight.
Can I also establish something that fuel in America, because America have their own supply of oil, is cheaper than it is in Great Britain.
But still, if I lived, I went online and looked up some videos of that place. That place looks.
This was a really good episode, wasn't it?
That place looks fantastic. I love it.
You've got to be careful what you say, Co, because me and Deb hadn't. It's not Alpha Debbie I'm talking about. Have decided to actually gain you some maps for the Black Gang Shrine and Robin Hill. And next time we go to Thorpe Park and any other theme park we happen to go to, we're going to collect you. So you better be a good boy.
Thank you. Yes, master.
If you come to Thorpe Park, Adam, that's right by me. So you must come and drop in on us.
Cool. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. We went there last year. I suppose you didn't hear Alicia screaming while she was on the blooming, that thing, what's it called again? Stealth?
I don't know. I won't be doing, obviously, at the moment we don't do theme parks, but in a few years, given my news, we probably will be.
Yeah. Do you want to announce your news?
Well, I mean, have people not read the Facebook post?
I have, but...
Well, we have.
Not every listener is...
I read something, but it was on April Fool's Day.
No, it wasn't.
It was on April Fool's Day.
Yes, it
was. I know. I deliberately put it on there on April Fool's Day to see how many people thought it was an April Fool, but no, it's not an April Fool. It's real.
And not all the listeners of the podcast are on Facebook.
No, exactly. So go on.
Well, okay. Well, I can announce that at the end of September, at the age of 50 years old, I will become a farmer.
Yay!
Congratulations, Andy. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Wonderful. It's blooming scary. It's blooming scary.
It's wonderful. It's blooming wonderful, actually.
How's the lovely Dawn? She all right?
Dawn. She can be the blooming Dawn, not the lovely Dawn.
The blooming Dawn. She's definitely blooming. There's bits of her expanding, shall we say.
Yes. I think we'd better move away from possible Google entendres. Especially with Mary on the podcast, because she might be on some sort of medication that could increase her innuendo problem that she has.
Seriously, folks, it's been brilliant news. We've had the scans done, and it's actually amazing. I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit I blubbed when I saw the scan, looking at this little thing inside door, moving around, thought, my goodness, that's my baby.
I have to say that I'm so relieved it wasn't an April Fool.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I posted on April Fool's Day to see what people
said. Yes, but I posted, I hope this isn't an April Fool, and you didn't answer.
I didn't. I thought, oh,
no,
well,
you just sort of liked the comment.
Well, it was, but it's real. I've
Congratulations.
Got pictures. It's real. But thank you very much. It's our first one, and probably our last one, I think, given the fact that
I am. Are you going to call it William or Patrick or...
All right. we've actually thought of names, but we're waiting to see what comes out first. And we'll, you know.
Oh, if it's a girl, it's got to be
Debbie.
Debbie. Deegan. Mary.
Suzanne.
Who knows? But let's wait and see what happens. There's definitely only one in there. That's one thing we do know.
Yes. Who knows?
Very good, Kirby.
It's got to be Verity, isn't it? Verity. That's a lovely
Verity,
name.
Verity, yes.
Well,
yeah. Verity Nunny.
Verity Nunny. That's got a ring to it.
It'll be down to the management.
Yes.
the management will decide.
Well, don't tell her who Verity Lambert is, and then you might get away with that one.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go. That's my news. So,
that's fantastic news. Is it not, Kirby?
Absolutely.
Yes. Right, I thought you were going to talk about something else, but I'm glad it was that. Right, so this week, this week we're going to be looking again at the Dalek invasion of Earth.
Except we've got two people this time who weren't on last time when we did it.
Indeedy.
Who? Yep.
I'm only joking. Right, so...
to the quiz questions.
Oh, I've got my volume up. I better turn that down before it starts playing. Right, so what did you say about quiz questions?
I said, so they get most of the quiz questions. Mm,
there's a special section of the quiz because I had such good fun last time.
No, that was mean.
Yeah. There will be 10 questions from my book, the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, selected specially for this week's edition of You Won't Get This. Well, that's later on in the show, everybody.
Is that available on Kindle?
Sorry?
Is it available on Kindle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, right. I can buy it on Kindle now and look at it then. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, see, and I've got it on my phone as well, so.
You cheat. Right, it's a point deducted for Kirby.
No, I didn't say I was going. I simply said that I. No, it's not. It's good for you because you got a little bit of cut of my buying it.
Cut of your jib. Right. And let's turn the volume down of you lot so you can't hear yourself back. Right then, so episode one begins with somebody committing suicide and the doctor and his little team landing by. I'm going to gloss over this quickly, you know, because we have done this before. me burping.
But two people have not.
Doesn't matter.
I repeat.
Doesn't matter. They can go back and re-listen to a previous episode of the show, which Andy indeed has listened to. Right. Mm-hmm. Debbie hasn't, but then can't hold that against her. So, yeah, Susan hurts her ankle and a bridge falls on the TARDIS.
She needs magic water.
She does.
Yep, magic water. Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
And magic everything.
Magic contaminated water.
Yes.
And the Doctor, which is quite funny when he said the line that obviously ended up being my quote, because I said to Mary...
What was your quote?
Didn't I say to Mary the week before about her having a smack bottom? And yes. I really did make me chuckle when I watched that. And he said, what you need is a jolly good smack bottom. So, Mary, I thought of you.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Master.
Yes.
That was not scripted. That was worked out in rehearsals.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they put it in because it was funny.
Yes.
So that's basically because, surprise, surprise, just for a change, Susan has twisted her ankle. The boys go off to go and find something,
snoop.
Yes. And then that's when they find a calendar, which is just has the year on it, but no dates. And then they find a Robo-Man, and they realise, obviously, that they're in the future. Cause,
was that Robo-Man playing hide-and-seek? He was in a cardboard box, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's weird, wasn't it?
What was he doing there?
Well, I don't know.
Master, for being dead, he moves around quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, if you watch my thing on YouTube, which is, of course, not mine, actually, is my friend's that I was in, called Machete. It's a little production we did in 1980-something. 1983. There's a video on there which was actually shot in one go because we didn't have any editing facilities. It was a very old video equipment. So basically, we planned it out. The story out, filmed it all in one go and one take, and it was put together like that. In that scene, there's bits like that where Dee, one of my mates, whose video camera it was supposed to be dead, but his body's rolled over by me. But because he wants to show this gouging cut in his neck, which isn't actually there, he holds his head straight. Rigor mortis set in very quick, holds his neck really straight. So, all you see is this little smudge of red, but that's what that reminded me of. Sorry, I just did golf and tangent. But it's called Machete. Go on the 20 megabyte YouTube channel. Yes, that was Debbie coughing.
That was me.
Oh, it was you coughing.
Yeah.
Are you having you and Debbie having a cough off?
Mm-hmm. We are. We must.
Yes. Well, who's going to win?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. What about Mary? I'm talking about the girls.
Mary,
I'm still recovering. I don't have much of a voice because I've spent the whole week coughing.
Well, I'll try and avoid asking you only the most important questions, Mary, okay?
Yeah, but the important thing is don't make me laugh.
What? Anyway, back to the story. God, it's like being outside a dog kennel, isn't it?
Sorry.
Should I get Magic and Star in it?
Sorry.
Tom's not doing too well, either.
Oh, God. Yeah, so back to the story. Yes, there's lots of lovely sort of arty location shooting in this story, which I absolutely adore. I think it's fantastic.
That's a disused tube station at Wood Lane.
Well, it's not just that. It's the running around these sort of yards and stuff. And it's really, really picturesque. And as a photographer, I'd love to be able to find some places like that to go and shoot in. So anyway, they quickly come along. Oh, I've got a notification. Oh, God, it's Alicia. Hang on, what's it say? Alicia mentioned you in a comment. What's she going to call me? I've got to have a look at this. I'm a...
What? I watched that special that talked about all the locations, and it is. It's real interesting.
What? Hang on. Apparently Zane is back in One Direction. I don't believe that for a word.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Exactly, who cares? Goodness sake.
I didn't even know who he was, and there's people crying about him. And I didn't know that.
I
asked my 17-year-old if she had heard the news, and she's laughed and said she doesn't care.
Well, is he back? Is he back in One Direction then?
I don't
Nothing
know.
Nothing on my feed says anything about it.
Oh well, I don't
Not
care.
The BBC News headline thing.
Yeah, that would be headline news.
Yeah,
yeah, probably would be, wouldn't it?
Quit.
Anyway, away from the One Direction podcast, back to Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. Yes, then we meet the Robomen, don't we? And the Robomen are quite
No,
funny.
It is the Robomen.
Yeah, they do talk a little bit like you when you're doing your Cher impression. And then that iconic shot of the Dalek coming out of the Thames. Mm.
I love that. Yeah, that was so cool.
That's good.
So
what I enjoyed about this, because I work in London, I go out running at lunchtime. A lot of these places actually run past, and I'm pretty sure that is where the Doctor comes out of the River Thames.
The Doctor comes out the Thames.
Well, he probably does, but the Doctor. The ducks are the
Doctor. Oh, the Doctor. The Doctor comes out the Thames. stop laughing, Mary.
So I think that's where the Doctor has come out of the Thames, to the amphibious vehicles who go, you can go up and down the Thames in them and go around London in them. I've done that a couple of times.
That really makes me laugh.
Duck!
Duck! Yeah, duck! No, yeah, why? What, yeah. Something just gone over my head. Who said duck? No, he's talking about Doctor. A tour of the docks. But that's so funny, a doctor.
No,
it's only you, Andy, can go on about a doctor in a podcast about a Doctor Who.
I love
you. Oh, you donut.
Thank you, Adam. I love you too.
Am I going to have to start a new podcast called Doctor?
I know what you're saying, Andy.
Thank you, Debbie. Well, that's coming good.
Oh, God. Welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who, where we have you take a tour of the docks.
You could probably get a duck tour to the dock tour.
A duck tour? We're touring ducks now. Is this a tour of the ducks or the tour of the docks?
You could do a tour of the docks with ducks.
Oh, God, Isabella was feeding the ducks this afternoon.
I'm sorry, I'm going to spend most of the podcast with my microphone off.
I think so, too.
Anyway, back to the story.
Where do the ducks? I'm assuming you're talking about amphibious vehicle ducks,
mm-hmm.
Andy? Yes, okay, that's what I thought.
Yes. I thought we were talking about ducks.
Where do they come out? Because this was Queen's Wharf, close to Riverside Studios.
Well, it's near Vauxhall Bridge. I'm wondering if it's the same place. It's if you go from Westminster and you go west along the river, you've got Westminster Bridge, then you've got Lambeth Bridge, and it's between Westminster and Lambeth Bridge. Lambeth and Vauxhall Bridge. It's on the south side of the Thames.
This is on the north side of the Thames.
Oh, is it? Right, so yeah. I'm not sure. I know it's around there somewhere, though.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Doctor. Yeah. I took a great big sip of Stella. Sorry, I had chili con carne for my dinner.
Lovely.
Anyway. Yeah, so... very quickly, in the end of episode one, or towards the end of episode one, they all meet up with the what is essentially freedom fighters, isn't it? Where they're all sort of clubbing together to try and fight against the Daleks.
I do like what Susan says when he's like, "What do you do? I eat."
Yeah.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was my quote last time around.
Was it? No, I'm glad you didn't use it this time around.
Why? Did someone use it?
No.
No.
Okay.
And that's right. So who's the cook then? Isn't it Barbara?
Yeah.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah.
And why didn't you? Did you put magic water on this ankle?
Yes.
The Doctor and Ian end up on the Dalek spaceship. And while that's right, was the little bloke with the glasses, the disabled chap? What was his name?
Dortmund.
That's it. Yeah. Dortmund. Was trying to create some sort of explosives to. You know, defeat them. The Doctor showed his cleverness by sorting this little puzzle out, didn't he? And,
that was good. That was very Krypton factor.
Yes, it was. Which only sort of resulted in him getting caught again as he tried to escape. Turned into a robo. What was the point of that? But anyway, it was just to put a cliffhanger, I suppose, in the end of episode two.
Because they only turn the mentally agile into robo men. And you notice there's no women in the robo men.
Mm-hmm.
So then, the doctor gets carried off. Sorry, Mary. The doctor gets carried off. He's sort of unconscious, sort of gets half carried off the ramp of the spaceship. Isn't that where he gets injured?
Hartnell? Yes.
Because mm-hmm. that doesn't actually look like Hartnell being carried at that point in that clip, I noticed.
But it is.
It is.
Right. Bomb that they're going to use, and there's a brilliant moment where this where the Daleks are coming out onto the ramp, and this one comes down like the clappers, just comes down the ramp and off screen. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I can't remember what minute it was on, but it's when the battle's going and this Dalek just goes wee down the ramp.
Well, the Dalek has to go wee, is it?
Well, no, it doesn't.
Well, maybe there weren't any toilets on the spaceship.
Daleks
feel in toilets.
Master,
I think
Master.
Yes.
These Daleks are a little bit different in their construction in that they have, instead of them being shuffled along with the operator's feet, they actually have little pedals that they use. It makes them, maneuverability is different, but they were just trying different things. And so this is the only time I believe they ever used that particular arrangement.
Okay.
surprised at breaking the.
Obviously, the doctor manages. Obviously, got the doctor off the ship. Hang on. Ian's back on the ship.
Ian goes back. Ian is on the ship. He doesn't come.
Yeah. So who carries the doctor off? Looked like Ian in that clip.
It was one of the other guys. One of the rest.
Yes.
And then very quickly, David and Susan sort of start striking up a relationship, not necessarily a. relationship of love at this point, but they are certainly striking up a relationship.
It's well done in this. It's not like the sudden Leela.
No. and then,
this is probably the first person that Susan's met who's actually close to, well, her physical age is. I mean, she's supposed to be about 15, 16, isn't she? I mean, how old she's in Time Lord terms, we don't know.
No.
But, you know, well, how old's David? What, about early 20s, I'm guessing?
Quite possibly.
So, you know, she's actually someone who... physiologically and probably psychologically, it's actually close to her age, someone she can actually relate to. Because, you know, she's been so used to... we don't know how long she was at Coal Hill School for, but, you know, she got used to being with young... How long?
3 months.
Okay, but she was used... The point is, she was used to being with people and the age she was meant to be. Therefore, she used to be talking to young people rather than older people like the teachers, like her grandfather, and the various people she's met now. So that's probably why that relationship sprang up.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe if I'm not mistaken, there was a reference to how long she was at Coal Hill in a conversation between Susan and the girl in
Marco
in China. In China during Marco Polo.
Oh, yeah, Ping Chu.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I think you might well be right there, Kirby.
And she said something about 3 months.
Okay. Anyway. So, not long after, just before, sorry, the doctor collapses, this is about halfway through the episode at the moment, we start seeing those lovely shots of Barbara and her two sort of companions, which is Dortmund and the young woman whose name is...
Across the bridge.
it's all the lovely deserted London footage and the Daleks sort of going around these well-known London landmarks and stuff.
And so, Andy, you go through this area every day, and do you watch for Daleks?
I don't think Andy's on.
Uh-oh.
Andy's off, yep.
Here we go again.
There he is.
No, he's back again.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. You all disappeared again.
Yes, I suppose.
Andy, mm-hmm. do you, when you go around London through, like, this area where the Daleks are, do you watch for Daleks?
I don't, I'm always looking out for Daleks, making sure, because I'm not a very fast runner, because I'm so old and fast, but I can keep going, but no, I think a Dalek will probably outpace me, so I have to do look out for them. And I've actually run across Westminster Bridge and round there and through Covent Garden, so let's say a lot of those places we saw Daleks are on my regular running routes.
Excellent, right. So a bomb is delivered to where the Doctor and his friends are, and what else happens? Oh yeah, Dortmund to need commit suicide just before then as well. I think he, that's right, he does. He blows up a load of Daleks and himself at the same time.
Well, does he actually blow the Daleks up or not? I don't know, he doesn't. I mean, he's complete as a failure. I mean, he's bombed.
I should have used the word attempt.
I mean, his bombs were absolutely useless. I mean, I don't know where you think he was getting anything from, but he did not destroy one single Dalek with these bombs of his, so he's going to be a waste of space, wasn't he?
He was a bit, wasn't he?
Pretty much.
He sort of worked out a new formula of Dalekenium and... Yeah, and then he goes out to test it, and nothing happens.
It's
like, okay, so they're going to stick with that plan then.
But I love how Barbara makes her big speech about, oh, he went out there and sacrificed himself to save us. Mm. Well, they didn't even know they were there. If he hadn't gone out there and, you know, waved at them, you know, yo, Daleks, you know, I'm over here with a bomb.
I like as well when the scene when he goes outside, you see the camera boom shadow going across the room, don't you?
Yeah.
Well spotted. Anyway, they defused the bomb because it was made out of polystyrene by tipping some...
Yeah, but why would you tip acid on a fire bomb?
I don't know. Why would you do that?
Really irresponsible.
Yes.
I was wondering how they would know if they pulled that part out that it would not explode.
Well, I suppose they just had to take a chance because it was going to explode anyway.
And why aren't the Daleks just dropping these firebombs from their flying saucers?
The robot men were doing it, weren't they? Yeah, just dropping them off. No, they wouldn't get away very quick, but obviously, as you hear later, they don't care about the humans at all. So,
indeed.
Now, this episode is the one where Hartnell was still recovering from the back injury.
Yes.
So this is Edmund Warwick that we see from the back.
Yes, that's right, yes. But
Warwick, you mean Warwick?
Yeah, it's Warwick, but don't...
Speaking of a man who comes from Warwickshire, it's not Warwick, goodness sake.
Yeah. Warwick.
Kansas and Arkansas to you, Kirby.
Yes. I thought he was supposed to be some sort of Anglophile and he insisted on pronouncing these things correctly.
Well, in that case, Kirby, when you come to England and I take the cricket match, I'm going to take you to see a Warwickshire play.
Not
then
Warwickshire.
Oh, yeah, Warwick Castle as well, yes.
Or Warwick Castle.
Warwick.
And then where he can go and meet Bernard, what's his name? The one who's played the character.
Cribbins?
Bernard Cribbins, that's the one. Or Crybines, or as they probably call him in America. Anyway, moving back to this particular episode of Doctor.
Did you call him Bernard? I thought it was Bernard.
No, it's Bernard. That's the point I was trying to make.
Bernard.
Sorry, I called Mary Kirby. Dear, maybe I should slow down on the Stella. So Ian has arrived in Warwickshire.
Bedfordshire.
Yes. And meets up with that bloke from Are You Being Served? Mr. Rumbold, I believe it was.
Rumbold. Yes.
Yes.
Master. This is the very first time they have, for the outside scenes, where we see all the slaves pulling the railway carriage. That is the very first time they ever filmed in a quarry.
Yay!
It's John's Hole Quarry in Kent.
Marvellous. Thank you for that. Right, so, he makes friends with Rumbold. And infiltrates the sort of little group that the Roman men are, the little mine workers, I suppose you call them, Roman men are sort of ordering around. Meanwhile, this is the bit where Barbara jumps in a sort of was it a road sweeping van? I don't know. I can't remember what they call those things. And
it's, it's a refuse van, wasn't it? Yeah.
And sort of makes her way to plow through some Daleks.
That steering wheel is incredibly large.
Well, they were.
Yes, they were.
Okay, why?
Didn't have power steering though. You needed the traction because it didn't have power steering.
Exactly.
You needed to have because those things with D's were so heavy. You need a big steering wheel to actually turn the blooming front wheels.
Yes, exactly. Well done, Andy. Okay. And then of course we see more of the development of the relationship between Susan and David, getting a bit more sort of like a couple that are, you know, starting to like each other. Like I say, Barbara ploughs through a load of Daleks, which was very.
It's also. I noticed that she went to the Daleks. I'm sure she was going at the road. I'm sure there's a human figure in front of her. She completely ignored that. I mean, did anyone see that, or am I just thinking it up?
I didn't see that bit.
I didn't see that.
Okay, I'm sure she went to the Daleks, and then you see a shot through the windscreen. I'm sure that there's a figure other side of the road. Oh well, I mentioned on my feedback as well.
You provided feedback as well as being live on
the podcast. Well, originally this was going to be last Tuesday, so I wasn't going to be on the podcast, was I? So I did my feedback.
Oh, okay.
Hang on, let's have a look. Oh dear.
Yes, I'm trying to find
it.
I'm trying to find it as well.
But if not, tell me and I can resend it.
No, that's all right.
No. We're talking about we're watching the video.
A massive steering wheel.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. It was after they crashed the Daleks.
All right, yes.
And then you see a shot through, pointing up the road through the windscreen. I'm sure on the left-hand side, I'm pointing. I'm sure you can all see that. There was a figure.
Okay, well, I'm just watching through the windscreen.
Look, it's pointing. Look, there it is.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mary. See, Mary's seen it.
No, I'm looking where you're pointing.
Right, hang on. I'm not back to that bit. Yeah. She's just ploughed. Oh, yeah, there is a figure there.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't see it pointing.
No, I was pointing at it.
Oh, sorry. I misunderstood.
Yeah, Mary saw me pointing at it.
That's right.
So it eventually blows up after some button was flying through the sky. Did you see the button? Little black button.
Yeah.
I don't know what the button was all about. Dear.
Oh dear, we're all going to get sick because someone's going to spread germs over Skype.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, Barbara sort of manages to get up to Bedfordshire, I believe, while Susan and David are still in the sewers. I don't know what they're trying to achieve. And then they meet a baby crocodile. It makes Susan very, very scared.
Actually, it looked like a caiman.
Was it a caiman or was it a crocodile? Or did it look like a caiman?
It looks like a caiman because those were more readily available in pet shops.
Oh, okay.
Because it looks like it's about a foot long.
Yeah. That's right. At the end of that episode... I've lost where I was. You put me off, Kirby.
That's my job.
That's not a stock shot. That's real baby alligator that they...
Yeah, yep.
That's right. So they do actually rescue Susan from that particular predicament.
It's interesting. When she's hanging off that ladder, there's a very interesting shot of part of Susan's anatomy.
Is there?
Yes.
It's also interesting... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, she's focusing very much on her backside. I think the camera obviously found that quite interesting. But it's a bit feeble as well. I mean, this ladder's like dangling about 2 inches off the... off the wall, and why the hell did she just climb up and get off it?
Right, yeah, I know.
That's what I was going to refer to, sorry, Kirby, how it was a prop ladder.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a very strange noise from outside that little room where Ian and his friends are. The Slither made a very, very weird noise.
Yeah.
What happens to the Slither? I think it ends up falling down the mineshaft, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gets knocked off by polystyrene rock Ian... hits it with
noise. Right. Yeah. That was.
There is a figure on the road. You're right.
Yeah, okay. Never mind. Moving on. The Slither. Let me talk about the Slither, right? Very, very briefly. Of the sound of it made it sound really scary, and then you see it in episode five, and it looks ridiculous.
Shuddering. Yeah.
And of course, yes.
They redid the costume between the two episodes.
Yeah, I can see that
because they. Decided it wasn't scary enough when we first saw it. It wasn't scary the second time we saw it either.
No.
That's how true.
And William Hartnell returns for this particular episode, which is nice to see. and he clobbers somebody with his stick, which was very awesome.
Yes, and, that was great.
Barbara and her little friend with the balaclava turn up at...
That balaclava fascinated me. I mean, every time she went out, she put a balaclava on, didn't she?
Forced to wear a balaclava when I was young to go to school.
Maybe it was just a woman in all the running shots.
Yeah.
Really, was it? Oh, was it? I didn't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know for sure. But yeah, she always put it on, didn't she? Yeah.
Yes. But anyway, Faster. The young crone.
The young crone.
The crones, yes.
And I'm just getting sick now.
Sorry, I was just choking on Stella.
Master?
Yes.
A couple of things. First of all, there were supposed to be three crones because it was. He was trying to make a reference to Macbeth, of course.
All right, okay.
Also, the character who's wearing the balaclava, whatever.
Jenny.
Pardon me.
The original idea was to. They knew that Carol Ann Ford was going to be leaving, and they were interviewing replacements, and that was going to be a younger girl to replace her, but they couldn't find one in time. So they got Ann Davies in at pretty much at the last minute. And unfortunately, she's older, so she wasn't going to be the companion. They still wanted a younger companion.
Yes. Okay.
Which they obviously got.
They did eventually, sort of. Yes. Yeah. So Ian and his little friend go down into the mine shaft while Barbara...
Have you met my little friend?
No. While Barbara and Jenny are given in to the Daleks. And that's right, because doesn't he matey meet his brother? And then he sort of decides to kill himself and his brother at the same time.
Yeah, because he's a robo man.
Yeah.
And then,
but you see Phil going Larry, so does he suddenly turn, realise who he is at the end of the last minute as they kill each other? Does he remember actually who he is? Something like that.
Yeah.
But there you go.
We all notice the wicker baskets to carry rocks around.
Yes.
But they're lightweight rocks.
Shut up.
They probably float.
Yeah, where are they taking these rocks to? Has anyone actually worked that? Oh, God, I've gone again.
You have.
No, I'm back again.
Where are they taking these rocks to?
No idea.
I don't know.
They're putting rocks into baskets and that taking them where? But where?
Just realised my iPad was far too close to the microphone then, so I hope it hasn't interfered with my recording. I'll be very cross if it has. Anyway, so then we see a scene where there's a genuine romance developing between Susan and David after a bit of Monty Python fish slapping.
Yes.
Yeah. And also the lovely quote of the doctor, she's a very good cook.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he says, "I can see something's cooking."
Yes.
Yeah, and he starts playing with his hand and...
Yeah, it's like, yes, I can see something's developing here.
Yes. And, the Daleks...
Susan keeps holding that fish in suggestion.
Yeah. Barbara and Jenny sort of manage to talk themselves into the Dalek HQ, and then Ian overhears them... their plans of sort of turning the Earth into a spaceship and that they're going to send an explosive down. So he decides to jump in the sort of...
No, it's an accident. It's an accident that he ends up in that thing.
Is it? Oh, I thought he was being a wild hero.
I'm with Adam. I thought he did deliberately to try and get into this thing.
Yeah, because it's the only way of the only chance of stopping it from blowing up.
Yeah. I like the way he's trying to hotwire this thing. I mean, is he actually a sort of part-time car thief or something? The way he's trying to wire something, get this thing started. He's sort of
I didn't think he was in there deliberately. I thought he was just hiding for a moment, and then he went.
I thought he was.
No, I think
that's what I thought.
I prefer to think that he was in there deliberately, like James Bond sort of situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
But after all of our film education on, you remove the red wire but not the green wire, and it's supposed to be,
or in this instance, the gray wire,
handfuls of wires and ripping them off the
wall.
It's like, oh my god,
wasn't very James Bond.
He seems to know what he's doing, doesn't he? And that's what's interesting. He seems to think quite deliberately pulling this wire, that wire. It's not sort of any random wires, so does he actually know what he's talking about?
According to the info text, they worked out specifically which wires he was going to be moving. He wasn't just pulling random ones.
Yeah.
Oh, he sure looks pretty random to me.
Yeah, which grey wire shall I pull, indeed?
Yes.
Right. Meanwhile, Barbara and Jenny get attached by their necks to the wall. And, of course, Barbara realises that they can control the Robomen by talking into the little microphone thing, which is something that happened in the movie version of this particular story.
Yes. I like the...
Yes. Like that was necessary.
Kill the Daleks, do you hear?
Ian goes about his plan to use some twigs to stop the explosive.
How is that going to stop an explosive drill bit? Honestly, it's...
the fact he only bungs two in. I mean, he's got a whole load of these sticks.
It's three. He has three.
They were quite heavy.
He's got a whole pile of them. He put as many in there as he can. Besides, that three are going to stop this massive weight of a bomb.
But they were quite heavy, though, everybody. They were heavy.
Master, you know how you see at the end of episode 5, there's that model shot of where they're going to drop the bomb down?
Yeah.
Episode 6, you see... the same model, but they've added a little Dalek on a ledge in a little room.
Okay.
It's cool. Somehow a Dalek has just materialized a week later.
The Doctor manages to get up to the control room and obviously Barbara and release Barbara and Jenny.
Don't stop, just pick daisies on the way.
A switch is flipped somewhere along the line. Oh, no, they explode something, they, which...
No,
then,
it was David and Susan.
Yeah, they blow up something.
Out a cable ring or something.
Yeah, just to temporarily disable the Daleks long enough for the Doctor to, and Barbara to do the order to the Robomen to kill all the Daleks. Which is essentially then ends the story.
Oh, God, you got very loud there suddenly.
Did I? Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Of course, that caused the explosion did happen, but it only caused a volcanic eruption.
They're hiding on the edge of the crater.
Yes.
is edge of craters collapsing.
Yes, that did happen. Yeah. That particular comment did come up last time.
You know what? Isn't that the sort of place where you would build an amusement park so it would fall down? Yeah.
I have a funny feeling, Kirby, that when Black Gang Shine was originally put together, there was a lot more land there, and they didn't envisage it falling away that quickly.
No.
And if you notice, a couple of the pictures that I posted show the pathway going away into the nethers, and a part of the park from last year which has dropped and is no longer accessible. And that will be the same next year because there's certain pictures. If you look on my Facebook page, there's a shot from Black Gang Shine of Alicia standing by a thing called the Mouth from Hell with the mouth wide open.
Boring inside.
We couldn't see that. We couldn't see it anywhere. Where's it gone?
It's still there. It is. I went in there and got bored with it again.
I didn't. We couldn't find it.
It's on the map.
I can find it. I'll have to look. Next time we go, it's been a few weeks' time, or maybe it might even be this week. We'll have to have a look for that one.
And if people have thought Inferno with his volcanic eruption.
Yes, indeed. There was comments about in this story that
this devastating explosion and people are like 10 feet away are fine, yet a Dalek spaceship, which is probably several hundred feet, if not thousand feet up in the air, gets taken out completely.
By the upblast, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's essentially the end of the story. And then we get into... Actually, this The scene,
end of the story,
yeah, that did actually bring a tear to my eye when I watched this, and it was quite embarrassing because Deb walked through the room, not Alpha Deb, walked through the room at the time, and I had to disguise the fact that I was getting a bit emotional about this amazing scene between.
Oh, it was wonderful!
It is amazing.
It is. It's very good, isn't it?
Yeah. Why
did he leave Susan with only one shoe?
Yeah, that was not fair.
No. Oh, leaving a woman with one shoe, it's criminal.
No, just,
I did think them all out. Yeah, put a bag out for her.
Do we know any women who only own one shoe? And all the women I know own about 3 million pairs of shoes. I mean, a woman with one shoe, it just doesn't exist. It's just impracticable.
Also, does this mean that there's a TARDIS key, which is just randomly out there under Key Bridge? In the future?
That's why. In that case, Kirby, I'll look out. Next time I go out running next week, I'll go and look for that. See if we can find it.
No, no, this is in the future.
It's in the future.
Oh, that's
yeah.
true. Yeah, well, next week's in the future. There you go. I'll look in.
Anyway, back to this this scene.
Gone again.
Oh, for goodness sake. As I was trying to say, I think I was watching it through, and it was just lovely to see that the conversation between Susan and David, and then the doctor listening in on it, and the when he switches that switch to lock the doors, that's the bit that I think made me feel emotional.
I could actually hear you lot then. Hello,
hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you are back. You didn't have to go look for the key. You didn't have to go look for the key immediately.
Yeah. I thought I might as well, you know, because I've not been out running. I've not been out running today. I've been walking, but not running, so I need to do some running. So I thought I'd possibly go and look for it now.
Yes, anyway. So he flicks the switch and locks the doors, and that whole scene was very, very moving, and the way she's looking up at the TARDIS, and it was just fantastic. And obviously the future connotations that particular monologue was used in the Five Doctors as well.
Yes. Five Doctors was the first time I heard that. Mm.
And then of course it was used again in Adventures in Space and Time.
Yes.
Mm. But why did she drop the key? I mean, you know, because if he was going to come back, then she could get in the TARDIS again. So why drop the key?
And she might be able to grow a TARDIS by using the key.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know, but I'd want to keep the souvenir at least. You know, it'd help me remember.
Now, Mary, you've got to bring up the fact that there is a Big Finish, a Big Finish sequel.
Well, hey, Kirby, let's jump the let's jump way ahead. Why don't we?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's it. Susan leaves. Brilliant at the end of that. And in fact, all in all, the stories were pretty brilliant. There's a couple of daft things in it that say. Probably wouldn't have considered that people would be watching this 50 years later, that people of early...
The early 60s
would not have considered. This is one of Terry Nation's better stories. I've already said I've probably gushed about this on a previous occasion, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time gushing about it again. So, Debbie.
Yes.
Go on.
Finally, I have finally seen this. I have heard quotes from it. I've seen pictures from it. I've heard it referred to for years. My dad's talked about it before when I was younger, you know, when I was asking about the Daleks and where they came from. When did they first come to Earth, you know? And finally, I could have watched this before and I hadn't. And so this was the first time I've watched it all the way through twice because we got extra time after not being able to record on Tuesday because I just really loved it. I really enjoyed it. There were some really dodgy moments, like the slither, and you could really pick holes in, like, the polystyrene scenery and things like that. But the actual story itself, Terry Nation, really kept it going for the whole of the six episodes. You were hooked. You weren't sort of wandering off halfway through, going, "Oh, I'm going to go off and make a cup of tea," and he'll still be wandering through the cave.
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't really have that. I mean, it did a little bit with a lot of the running across London, but you were looking at things going, I know that place. And so I really enjoyed it. I'm so pleased. And I was quite emotional at the end when Susan left because I knew she was going, but I liked the way that they drew out the relationship between her and David. It wasn't just a wham, quick, I'm in love with him thing. It was really nice. I could gush on a bit longer, but I... enjoyed it.
Good. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's there are some bits that don't stand that well, and the slither is actually blooming awful. And I mean, the two witches. I mean, so you've told them about thing. I mean, it's fairly obvious where they were coming from. But actually, it's just a very well worked. So it's, I think I've said in my theory, it's actually a two-part story because you have the London segment and you have the Bedfordshire segment. But it does work very well in terms of, you know, the Daleks have got a real plan here to do something and how they're working it through. And the way that they get beaten by the Doctor, again, works really well. And the bit at the end, I think it's so emotional. I think it's you know, a superb leaving scene you've got there. Possibly one of the best ones we've ever had. I mean, you know, people just upping and leaving. But
it's on a par, isn't it, with Billy Piper's departure, really, for me.
Yes, it is, yes. I think it really does stand up so well, the way the character moves on. But you can see that character moving on and developing her own life, which is, you know, say, why did she actually drop the key? But I think it's a very well-written story. It's very tight. There are a few cracks in it, as I've said. But other than that, it does, as a, you know, six-parter, it stands up very well, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, good. Kirby?
Fantastic. Brilliant. Yeah. Wonderful. One of my favorites. I'll watch
Uncle,
it.
Uncle.
I will watch this at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this again, and I know it's going into my favorites, and I will be buying it for DVD.
And I actually enjoy the movie version of it.
Yeah, the movie's not too bad. Yeah. I haven't seen it for a while. I've seen the Daleks.
Bernard Cribbins is in
Bernard.
It.
Maybe.
Bernard Cribbins.
Yeah.
He is in that one.
Bernard Cribbins.
Go on in, Mary, if you can. Take a sip of water, and here we go.
Now, this time around, I enjoyed it way more than the first time we reviewed it.
Oh, good.
I think because the first time through, I was so intent on putting down information for the quiz, excuse me, and didn't really get into it. But this time around, I was able to, and I wasn't going to watch it all over again with six episodes. But this time, I basically sat back and just really enjoyed everything in it. And word for word, Debbie, I agree with your assessment of it. Every episode is so strong that I can't imagine putting it down in any way. The only part that dragged out for me, of course, was the race through London.
Yes.
Other than that. And the only other thing that I would want to pick on is the music. I found the music at times very irritating. I found it very loud so that I could barely hear the dialogue sometimes.
It's unnecessarily loud when they're in the shack with the young crone, the old crone.
Yeah. And when they're in the spaceship, the doctor and Barbara talking, and I can barely understand what the doctor's trying to tell them to do because the music is so crescendoing loud. But yeah, overall, I really, this would be a favorite for me, definitely. And then to speak to what, Kirby tried to jump on. There is a follow-up Big Finish story called An Earthly Child. That it's an Eighth Doctor story that features Carol Ann Ford as the very grown-up Susan Campbell, whose husband has died and whose son is with her. And she is desperately radioing from Earth, because the society is still, decades later, is still very dystopian because they've been so suspicious, suspicious of anything that smacks of mechanics or electronics, that there's like this law against having anything like that. So they're still living a very primitive life. But her planet is dying because they don't have enough food. So she's radioing out in desperation, her hidden radio. And she manages to make contact with not just the Eighth Doctor, but another force that comes to help. And
sounds really good.
Yeah, it is. It's an excellent story.
What's it called again?
It's called An Earthly Child.
An Earthly Child, that's it. I might have heard that one.
An Earthly Child.
Yes, thank you, yes. Kirby.
And I've heard it too. It's excellent.
Brilliant. Okay, so we sort of like this one.
Sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
I suppose we better do some feedback. The trouble is we've got some of the feedback. One of them is specifically from somebody on the show
good
now.
Evening, 20 Megabytes. Andy Gunner here, 7:21 on Sunday evening. I've got a glass of
Sunday afternoon.
Not bad white. Drinkable. Not brilliant, but yeah. So look forward to doing a bit. Anyway, rewatched the Dark Invasion of Earth. Obviously, did that not that long ago. So, don't want to go over your old ground. Of course, you get the first episode, you get that classic line about you deserve a smack bottom.
Yes.
Can't quite imagine that being got away with this time around. Now, it's all this interesting bits of the things. You know, they're under a bridge that fairly derelict, and he's falling on them, and they just stand around. I mean, it's hard for you to come down on top of the TARDIS. You think we'd get the hell out of there as quickly as possible. So they don't seem to be too nice. And also, they took ages to notice this sign about dumping dead bodies, and no one seems to be too perturbed about that. You know, dumping bodies. So, yes.
Now, a Battersea Power Station having two chimneys missing, that actually is in a way quite opposite, because at the moment, actually, there's one gone. I don't know if our American friends really know what Battersea Power Station is, but it's been trying to be bought up and done different things with it. At one point, it's going to be a hotel, or it's even going to be a football ground. But actually, it is a listed building. They're actually renovating all the chimneys. At the moment, one's gone and being renovated. So it's actually quite quite up to date, that would. Of course, you get the swimming garlic. Yeah, you know, it's sort of... How did it get in? I mean, I know that ramp, because I think that's where actually they use the water taxis coming out of there as well, but... no one seems to be concerned about a swimming Dalek. Have you ever seen a swimming Dalek before? Don't think we have. Anyway, there's some other bits as well. What I like was the fact, I mentioned this before, a lot of the routes they go, actually on my running routes as I run around London at lunchtime trying to pursue the body beautiful. I said, don't tell Dawn about that one. but they do send a rather circuitous route of going across the South Bank, then going across Westminster Bridge, then they're in Covent Garden, Trafalgar Square, then I think they're in Covent Garden at the end, I think that's where the Transport Museum, it certainly is at the moment, but it does seem to be a slightly circuitous route they were doing, but perhaps that was deliberate, they needed to. Now, of course, when you're in there, you get the wonderful camera shadow, when Jenny and Barbara come back and find Dorman's gone. No one picked up on that, did they? Well, never mind, anyway. There are also some other good bits as well. When Larry and Ian attack the Robo Man, they're going to drag him jumping down the disposal chute, which is so conveniently... there's disposal chutes. Where's one? There's one 2 feet away. But if you notice that he actually lifts his arm up for Ian to grab hold of it, which is very helpful. He's supposed to be dead. Now, what I like about this story, it really splits into two parts. You have the London-based part and you have the Bedfordshire-based part. And it does really divide very nicely into that. So it's really 2 three-part stories, I guess, isn't it? Now, one thing, Jenny, why does she always have that blooming balaclava? You know, I mean, it's bizarre. I just thought it really was bizarre. And also, notice that when Barbara's driving the truck and she crashes to the Daleks, I'm sure that they see a figure up ahead, but they just seem to ignore it completely. You know, was it a Robo Man or was it just somebody who happened to be wandering around? Also, notice when they're in Trafalgar Square, obviously the pigeons aren't afraid of the Daleks, are they? Because they're all flocking around quite merrily, aren't they? You thought, Isn't there one where they described avian pest, one story where... Oh, I might have that wrong. I don't know about that one. Anyway, the slither. Oh, God, that was awful, wasn't it? Yes. But one good thing, with a couple of things, Susan, when she's on the ladder and he's falling away, you do get a rather lingering view on her posterior. I know we've had Nicholas Norks, and we've had... is he Vicky's bum? Well, yeah, I think, yes, that's another interesting shot there as well, wasn't it? And, of course, we had the first kiss there with her and David. And I liked the doctor's line about, oh, she makes a good cook. He's obviously what's going, but, my God, what a rampant sexist he is. Well, I guess William Hartnell probably was, and I think we do know that. And I think, do Daleks ever actually keep still? Because when they're controlling the talking, they're always going backwards and forwards, left and right. I'm actually doing it on a chair now, which, again, doesn't work on audio. But they never, you know, they're all at it. They're all constantly moving. You thought that. And also, when they drag Jenny and Barbara over, you can see quite clearly the two girls holding the sucker arm against them. You know, it's shades of Sarah Jane being killed by a cybermat and having to sort of hold it up to her neck. It was that sort of thing as well. And also, how did Jenny get free at the end? Because you saw the doctor release Barbara. The next thing you see is Jenny being released, but all three of them are still in shot. So, who released her? I just wondered. And finally... There's poor Susan, stranded on Earth with David... I think he said David Cameron, I did that last time as well, David Campbell. And only one shoe. You know, because the doctor's taken a shoe and mend it, and, you know, she's only got one shoe. I suppose you go and find shops around, we can go and quite easily get yourself one, but it does seem rather discourteous to the doctor, you know. Although the final scene, when he says goodbye to Susan, I think that is... It's one of the wonderful moments of Doctor Who, and it's the first time we've seen a companion go, and obviously, you know, a man saying goodbye to his granddaughter... You know, it must be very, very emotional. So, all in all, I think this is a very good story. You know, bringing the Daleks back because of all the publicity they got and Dalek mania from the first story. And, of course, this built up even more. And it was a well-written story as well. I watched the newer version with the not-so-dodgy special effects and also the much cleaned-up version. Thank you to the restoration team, who've done a very good job there as well. And you see why I think this is very highly regarded. There are some few duff men, say, like the Slither's a bit duff as well, and some of the really wooden acting by Robo Men. I mean, they're so slow moving, you'd think it wouldn't take too much to outwit them, but, well, all in a good story. But on that, sir, I think, thoroughly good story, Totally enjoyable, so thank you very much. And then on that note, I'll be seeing you.
Yes, thank you, Andy. Andy, what do you think out of a bit of feedback?
Oh, that's a garbage. Glad to know what he's talking. I've got a clue. Obviously been drinking, hasn't he?
If you say that.
Speaking of which...
Oh, by the way, yeah, that's the point. I must point out, I've got It's called Burrabrook, South East Australian Sauvignon Blanc 2014 bottle of wine. I've got my second glass, so I've got half a bottle left.
Well, I'm still on my first can of Stella. It's when I get to my second can there could be problems.
I have a Kroger brand Diet Coke.
You see, in the UK, Stella is known as white beater because it's people drink that and do stupid things afterwards because basically it's loop juice.
My wife's gone to bed, so should be okay. We have some more feedback.
More chance of her beating you, to be honest.
Oh, be quiet. She's a little gentle thing. More feedback.
Andy?
No more feedback.
How are you doing there,
Kirby?
Nearly had some feedback there from Billy Kirkbright, but Kirby interrupted it. Sorry, Kirby. Billy.
I posted a comment on a many-month-old post about Better Sea Power Station.
I've just seen that. I see Jeff Waddell coming back with it as well, because he was talking about the show.
Jeff Waddell. I love the way you called him Jeff Waddell, just to wind him up.
Waddell.
I call him Jeff Waddell, just to see if it might provoke him into writing in some more feedback.
You were wondering if I knew about Battersea. Yes.
Well, see, Jeff,
there's another older post back when we did Legopolis where I misidentified a power station as Battersea, and I got jumped up on because of
it. Did you now, you lucky man?
I used to work in power stations because my background is power industry.
My granddad used to work in a power station, you know.
Say again?
My late granddad used to work in a power station.
Which one?
The one that is in East Cowes.
Hang on a minute. Might be when I worked. No, it's Forley.
No,
I worked at
Forley's across the water.
No, I worked for Didcot, I worked for Forley, I worked for Tilbury, I worked at Ironbridge, I worked at Agecroft.
It's now an unmanned power station, but it wasn't in the 1960s and 70s when he worked there.
Yeah.
And then he ended up as some sort of tutor at a college in Penarth.
See, that's the first time I saw the lovely dawn was at Ironbridge Power Station.
Hmm. Anyway, would we like to hear Billy Kirkbright's feedback?
Yes,
please. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
How are you doing there, everybody? Hey, this is Billy. Just say a courtesy call. How's that?
Should hope so, too.
We get many courtesy calls on the 20 Megabyte
Doctor Who
podcast.
No, we don't.
There should
be more of them.
One now. I've not seen any episodes of late, but this is just a quick message saying, hello, you're not forgotten, and life has been slightly busy of late due to various things, and sometimes soon I'll get back to sending feedback,
please,
on the episodes that you're going to be reviewing. Okay.
Yes.
And by the way, Andy, it's nice to hear your dulcet tones on the 20 Megabyte podcast. I do like a Brummy accent. I do.
Somebody's got
inferior to mine, but we can't all be perfect. But if you're from Lancashire, you're not far off it. Take care, everybody. Ta-da.
So, Andy, you know who you've got to visit next time you go to Australia for cricket.
Well, of course, he lives out there. And also, I used to live in Lancashire. So I actually worked the power station in Lancashire. So he said, yeah, Lancashire, eh? But great lad. Happen. Lancashire. I live in all other country, me.
I thought I heard Basil Brush show in the background then for a moment. Was that you, Debbie?
Yeah.
No. Oh dear. Anyway, right. So I suppose we better move on. Any comments about Billy's long-awaited return to the show?
Top feedback, mate. Well,
yes.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you. And get better, Billy.
That is really directed at you, Mary.
What?
No. What happened there?
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The US TV comedy, The Big Bang Theory, does a Doctor Who reference about once a year. They did one last Thursday.
Hey, Raj. If Howard can't keep the TARDIS, how great would it look at your place?
What? Yeah, what?
I don't know much about Doctor Who, but if, you were to put this right outside your front door and open up the back, it would be like your entire apartment was inside of the TARDIS. Which is pretty cool, because on the show, the inside of the TARDIS is bigger than the outside. But then again, I don't know much about Doctor Who.
Dalek Invasion of Earth by Terry Nation. You could abbreviate that to DIA. Just a coincidence, I expect. As usual, the Daleks are not seen until they are revealed at the end of episode 1. As usual, this is futile, because they're in the story title. Can Daleks swim? Yes, we see one coming out of the water in episode 1. It looked impressive, but I think Perry did it better. The actress Anne Davies, who plays Jenny, agreed to go blonde for this story. Her outdoor scenes were filmed when she was still brunette, so she wore a ridiculous hood to hide her hair. Yeah. The Slither wanted to be a Slitheen when it grew up. Nicholas Smith plays the overseer at the mine. He is famous for playing Mr. Rumbold in the TV comedy Are You Being Served?
Oh,
are you free?
New.
No, I'm a Roboman. The Daleks built a bomb with enough room for Ian to hide inside it. I'm not sure if those Daleks have their heads screwed on right. This is the first story to use a quarry for a location.
I said that.
And later made a habit of it. Another later habit was companions leaving the TARDIS to get married. Even worse here, as it is involuntary. The Doctor was younger, in his first body. Susan might be 16, old enough to get married in the UK. As a time lady, she might be 60, and lied about her age to get into Coal Hill School.
Yes.
There was a case in the UK of a man of 30, who lied about his age and went back to school.
Yeah.
I don't know why either of them would do it.
But she was 16. Too young to fall 16. In love, and I was too young to know. Oh, she was 16. Too young to fall.
Pardon? What was that?
Bye for now.
Oh, bye, Ian. Sorry, I got interrupted.
Bye.
There was me knocking my chair. Or your chair, to be precise, because it's the chair you normally sit on.
Sorry. My fault, then.
Well, yes. that was feedback. More, please. And especially from the people who went to ConGT, who promised to send feedback into the show and never did. Hey, Kirby.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that young lady wanted you on the podcast and never did anything? Is that the one we're talking about?
I didn't say that. Did I say that?
Yeah,
well, her especially.
Yeah. Ooh, Mary. I think it's time we better move on to this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Right then, so let's establish who wasn't on the show last time this episode was featured.
Me.
There we go. So, therefore, I can ask you two the actual questions, even if the others may know the answers.
Okay.
But for the ones that were on the show, you must provide the questions to the answers.
Ah, nice.
Mary.
Oh, that was hilarious, that one last week. I laughed my socks off. I was in the gym and people were staring at me either way. I was sitting there laughing my head off trying to lift weights. I mean, then they killed myself. You know,
Mary.
100 kilos dropping on the air was not a good idea.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. Mary,
yes?
This is the answer. World's End. What's the question?
I know.
What is the name of the first episode?
Well, they were the first episode.
Give her the short answer.
Is the correct answer. Right, Debbie, this is the question. You need to provide me with the answer. The question is, what reason did Ian come up with to explain why the place was deserted?
What place?
I know.
Where they were, where they landed. What place?
I know.
Of course you know. You were on the previous episode. Go on.
Oh, does that mean I can't answer?
Of course you can.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the reason
was. Okay, therefore you get that. Going in, Kirby.
It's probably Sunday.
Is the correct answer.
Kirby's got it memorized.
Andy.
Hello.
What does Ian see out of the window while exploring the warehouse?
Gee, I wonder what.
Yeah,
What does he say? Is he gone? Is he still there?
No, I'm still here. I'm just thinking. What did he see?
I know if he doesn't answer.
Of course you know. Shut your face. Yes, go on.
I know.
Does too late. Battery power station with the chimney missing.
Yay.
Oh, God, yes. We got there in the end, didn't we? Yeah. Right, Kirby.
Hang on, excuse me. Where's my ping?
You talked over it.
You talked over
it. I heard it.
Well, don't talk while I'm playing the team.
I want my ping.
No.
I did my ping. Come on, where's my ping?
No, because it automatically...
Do ping, Adam.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
See, I
hate it. Thank you. Thank you. Often I get questions right, so come on, give me a break, lad.
Kirby.
Come on, show him he gets to hand it.
Kirby.
Master.
Oh, you are there, right. Right, you got the answer here. That's not the answer. This is the answer. I eat.
I know.
It's what Susan says when they're in that main room with all the freedom fighters. After.
Yeah,
okay.
All right, that's the answer, yes. Mary.
Yes.
All right, the answer is... Oh, dear. The answer is stop.
Sam Brown.
Okay. What the doctor says when it comes upon Susan and David all by themselves in a dark corner.
Trust you to connect some sort of innuendo to this quiz. No, it's not the answer. Right, who said they knew?
No one.
Not me.
I didn't. We just laughed.
Okay, well, the answer is, or sorry, the question is, what did the Robo Man or men say when Ian asked them what they wanted? No, it wasn't that either.
Stop.
Right. Who was that question for? It was Mary, wasn't it? Right. So, Debbie, question.
Yep.
According to the Daleks, where must those who wish to surrender stand? According to the Daleks, where must those who wish to surrender stand?
In the middle of the street. Out. Yeah?
Yes. Well, Andy.
Oh, so, Master,
oh, good grief.
Does that then was reflected in the modern era?
Yes, when they, it was. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea that they had, somehow I missed that watching the system.
Pay attention.
Around.
Right then. Andy.
Hello.
What seems to be the best treatment available for a twisted ankle?
I know.
No, it's the amazing, healing, totally powerful river water on a handkerchief.
That'll do.
Hey, tuna! I've never got tuna row before. I'm punching the air. Get it, my son.
Kirby.
Master.
Right. The answer is, this is the middle history of the Daleks.
I think I know.
As well. But Debbie, you're first.
No, he hasn't asked yet.
Yeah, but he won't, and you're first.
Yeah, I won't.
Oh, okay. Then. Go on then, Debbie.
Well, they're talking about them being destroyed on Skaro.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh!
Well done, Debbie.
Right, so let's have a score update then.
So I have lost now.
Have you? The scores at the moment are in last place with...
Me.
...points is Mary.
Shush! I couldn't hear,
great, the dogs
hear
are out again.
Over all the coughing.
Sorry.
No, shut up.
In joint second place with 3 points each, it's Debbie and Kirby. And then the lead with 4 points, it's Andy. Right,
yeah!
This is Mary's
get him,
question.
My son.
Mary. Where do the Daleks... Hang on, here's a question. Hang on. You wouldn't get anything from that part of the question, so hang on. God, hang on.
Who's this for? Is this for me?
This is you, Mary. Right, so I get the answer.
Okay.
Right, heliport. The heliport. What's the question?
let's see, the heliport.
I think I know.
That's where the... Oh, where is the Dalek saucer?
Mm. Right, who knows the answer?
Nope.
Well, I didn't cast the question. I think you broke up slightly. Can you say the question? The answer
again,
please.
Is the heliport. The question is what?
Where are all the prisoners being taken to?
Correct.
Guess in! Yes!
Right, Debbie.
Yes?
Who was Jack Craddock in the story?
Jack Craddock?
You've got very loud again.
What, as in the actor?
I know.
No! The character. Who was he in the story?
Adam, you got very loud again for season.
I know.
Sorry.
Wasn't he just a guy that helped... Ian has tried to escape.
That'll do. Andy.
Hello.
As I'm really loud, you should be able to hear this.
Okay.
What year did the meteorites start hitting Earth?
Oh, God, hang on a minute. Because they got the calendar, 2164.
You gave me a hint.
No, it's 20. I'm going to go for 2164.
Oh.
Yo! I want to roll.
All right, Andy.
Don't know why my thing, the answer is actually wrong on my sheet for some reason.
Why? If you have 2154.
No, I said it's 2054. It can't possibly be 2054.
No, it can't.
21. Yeah.
Right then.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, there's various different things. I was looking about this before when I was watching it. There's different websites, say different dates, and the dates are all over the place. But I think 2154 is the calendar.
It is the correct answer, yes. Yeah. Right, yes. Kirby.
Master?
The answer is life.
Oh, I know.
42.
Oh, dear.
Nice the boy. Universe and everything. Nope, sorry.
Right. Anybody?
I know.
Go on then, Debbie.
Is it what the Daleks offer you?
Well done.
Oh.
Actually, can I say, we're talking about Douglas Adams. Where I've been today, Highgate, is where Douglas Adams is buried. He's in Highgate Cemetery.
Well, there you go.
So I was actually not very far from his grave.
Were you not?
I wasn't until this afternoon. I've been in Highgate walking around.
Oh, cool. Right, Mary, your question. Your answer is... disguise themselves as Robo-Men.
I think I know that one.
Ian and... who's the guy with Ian? Hang on here. Ian and Larry try to come up with to get into the... Okay, all right, I'll shut up.
Anybody? Oh, Debbie says she knows.
Is it what Barbara comes up with and how to get
her? Is the correct answer.
That's right. Barbara suggests it first. Right.
Debbie.
Yes.
What did Ian take at university instead of three-dimensional graph technology?
Oh. I'll pass. I didn't remember
that. Wild guess.
And go on then, Andy.
I think it was science.
Oh, damn, I pressed the wrong button. Oh, no, I didn't.
What?
I saved it.
We never heard anything, so I don't know what you're
talking about. It was Boyce's Law. Boyce's Law was the answer. Right, Andy.
That's me again, yep, okay.
After the Doctor masterminds the escape from the cell, what did the Daleks have planned for him?
Well, they wanted to...
I know.
Like converse him and robotize him, didn't they? So they got him pinned to the bed and they were going to...
Yes.
Yep.
Right.
Kirby.
Stop talking like your head.
Kirby. The answer is... anesthetize him. What's the question?
Oh, I know, yeah.
What they were going to do to the Doctor? Before making him a robot man?
Right, I'll give you that one.
Please.
The actual question was, what are the Robo-Men ordered to do to the Doctor after they take off his coat?
But, why won't the coat off beneath the ties?
Right.
Weird.
Right. So, scores are, in last place with 2 points, it's Mary. In third place with 5 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 7 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 9 points, it's Andy.
Yo.
Right. Pity for the sick.
Mary, this is your question, or answer, I should say.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Kirby. Oh, right. Sector 4.
I think I know.
Where did the rebels go when they are discovered where they are now?
It was a good effort, but not right. Anybody?
I think is it where do Ian and Larry end up when they get out the spaceship?
You think incorrectly. The question was, what sector do the people trying to con themselves into the heliport pretend that the prisoners were taken from?
Oh, okay.
Right. Debbie.
Oh, I've written that down as well. Yeah, okay, yep.
Well, you should have answered.
What did the Daleks intend to use to destroy London?
Firebombs.
Andy.
Got too many notes again.
Who gets killed just after the Doctor is returned to David and Susan in London? You won't get this one.
Hang on.
Oh, I know that one.
Oh,
hang on a minute.
You might get this one.
So he gets killed, he gets feeling back in his... Oh, flipping heck. Where does he go?
I don't know. Well, I do know.
What was that?
My chair creaking.
Oh.
My chair.
Oil it.
No, it's my chair. Your chair's leaning up against the side. That's why I knocked it.
Because he does the mine. Oh, flipping heck. No, I'm not going to get it.
Eventually. Debbie, you said you knew.
It's Baker.
Whoa.
He was heading off to the Cornish coast and gets
Great answer. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Oh, dear. Bedfordshire is the answer.
I know.
What's the wooden hill called?
I know.
That's where the mine is?
Yeah, slightly obvious.
You're supposed to frame it as a question.
Sorry, Mary.
Where is the mine?
That'll do.
Take the points off when it's not a question.
Yes, Mary. I'll do that in future. Mary, this is your answer. I mean,
pity
you know
for
what I
mean. Pity for the sick.
Okay. You won't get this one, I'm sorry.
I keep getting the hard ones.
That's what she said.
And in my weakened state, I don't know how to handle it.
Oh, good Lord.
That's what she said.
Oh, dear. Mary's brought you back on the show, everybody. Right, the answer is... Oh, I've lost my best place now. Oh, dear.
That's what she said.
Where was I? Right, yeah. The answer is... You won't get this one, by the way. Dortmund.
Who was the leader of the rebels in London?
Told you wouldn't get that one. Anybody?
Who killed himself?
Who's the guy who killed himself?
No. The question was, what character was played by Alan Judd?
Come on.
Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What is the red mark on the bomb?
That's the ignition point.
Andy.
Yes.
How did David disarm the bomb?
He dropped the acid from Dortmund's utterly, completely, totally used.
Correct.
Yes.
Right, Kirby.
Except that makes those bombs actually useful for something.
Kirby. Come on, Master. Matt. Kirby, you won't get this one. Bedfordshire.
Where is the mine? Where does the...
I'll do another same question twice.
Yes, we have. We had that question before.
Yes.
No, I wouldn't.
No, we
it's had not.
That answer before.
So it's obviously the answer to a different question.
Where does the flying saucer go to?
No. Anybody?
Okay, where? I'll have a go.
Go on then.
It's where does the bomb explode to destroy the...
No. Okay. The question was, where did Barbara used to live?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. God, yes, she did, didn't she?
Barbara
yes.
used to live in Bedford.
Yeah,
right.
Did, yeah.
So the scores are in last place with two pathetic points, but we'll forgive her for being ill. Mary in third place with 7 points.
Bring
it's Kirby in second place with 11 points. Andy, and then the lead with 12 points. It's Debbie. This is Mary's go.
Oh dear,
Mary.
Yes,
Larry.
I know.
Larry, who accompanies Ian down into the mines?
I'll try.
I'll give you that one.
Oh, okay.
Right, Debbie, sorry. Debbie, the answer is... Sorry, this is the question. What does Ian say when a Roboman says, do not resist orders?
I know.
New orders.
Say that again, because everybody talked over you.
You better get new orders.
That'll do.
Yep.
Andy.
Hello.
What is the name of the black marketeer?
Oh, I know.
Ashton.
I know.
Is the correct answer. Kirby, the answer is...
Master?
Yes?
Master?
What?
Now, he always says that.
Oh.
Yes, I always say that.
Do you? Okay. The answer is the Black Dalek.
He's the owner of... Who owns the Slither? Who has a pet of the Slither?
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah,
it's only an article, Black Dalek, at the beginning.
No, it's not the question.
Well, is it who does Barbara and Jenny want to see?
No, it isn't, no. The question was, who is the commandant of the camp?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. Mary.
Yeah.
The answer is the doctor by hitting him with a stick.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, it's who kills so-and-so. Yeah, you're going to get your...
Be quiet. You get a point deducted if you're not careful. Yeah. And it's not that, by the way, Mary. Right. So the answer, Mary, is the doctor by hitting him with a stick. What's the question?
Don't know.
Oh,
don't know.
That's a bit of a shame. Anybody?
No.
Oh, Debbie.
It's how does he get the Robo Man off Tyler?
Oh, good for you.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
How did the vagrant woman persuade Barbara and Jenny to stay with them?
By mentioning dogs in the forest.
Wow, that's pretty good. Andy.
Hang on, that could be a ding when there's no answer.
What are you on about? She's just said the answer.
I never heard it. Sorry, in that case, I never heard it. Beg your pardon.
Right. Andy.
That's me.
How long did it take Ian and Larry to descend the shaft?
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, yes, I know that.
Oh, God only knows. Right, think of a number, double it half it, thing of the 2 minutes.
Anybody?
20 minutes.
Oh, Debbie just got in there ahead of... I'm going to give a point to Mary as well for that one, because you chimed in at the same time.
Pity for the sick.
Right. So, Kirby.
You're sick too.
Kirby?
Master?
Right, the answer is... Fine. Oi, stop coughing over my answers.
I can't hear you.
Right, the answer...
I know the answer. That's Adam Pearson to Debbie.
Shut up. Right. Answer. Kirby, the answer is 5.
I don't know.
Right. Anybody? Stop laughing and just answer the question, or question the answer. That's probably
that
the
zone. What zone do they have to clear, or something? I don't know.
No, the question was, in what episode was the word exterminated first used by a Dalek?
Yes, oh, good.
Yes, I wrote that down at the top of the page.
Oh, well, God, women, answer the women question, or question the answer. Well, you know what I mean. Right then, so the scores are, in last place with 5 points, or five coughs, it's Mary. In third place with 7 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 13 points, it's Andy. And in the lead with 18 points, it's Debbie. Oh, surprise, whoa. Surprise. But there is a bonus round coming up soon. Oh, it might change everything.
That's all right.
Right, Mary.
Yes.
The answer is Phil.
I know.
Pardon, what? Mary?
What is the answer?
Phil.
I know.
Phil?
I
know.
Yes, Phil.
Who is Larry's brother.
Yeah.
Yay.
Debbie.
Yay.
Yes.
Debbie, how does Ian stop the explosive capsule?
I know. Oh, God. Oh, blimey.
Three logs tied together.
No. Maybe. I thought you were going to say the answer then. I'm going to cancel that.
Why?
Because I pressed the wrong button. It's wrong. Right. I'll take it from what you were saying, Andy. You know the answer.
Well, he puts three sticks
into
the... Yeah, that's
no,
what Debbie
that's
said.
That's not the question.
Yeah.
The question is, how does Ian stop the explosive capsule? Did it say about the bomb? It says the capsule. How does he stop the capsule? So you both...
Hey?
So he pulls little wires.
Yes, that's the answer.
Oh,
no. Do I get a ding?
No.
Ooh.
Right. Andy.
There's always a question that we all get.
Where are the Robo-men ordered to herd the humans to?
I know.
I think I know.
Oh, goodness. I know.
We've got to herd the. It's where the bomb's going to go off, isn't it?
Yeah, so where is it?
It's in the lower gallery.
Whoa! Eventually he digs it out of virtually nothing.
Yes! Get him, my son!
Right, Kirby.
He's just reading like crazy.
Kirby?
Yeah, I am.
Kirby. Oh, Kirby. Kirby, Kirby, Kirby.
Oh, Master.
Right, the answer is the Boston Tea Party.
I know.
What did they get... What did they... What was the plan that they were planning like?
What?
They were.
I know.
I'm going to get that right. Go in, Mary.
Hang on, when... I said I know as well.
Oh, good grief!
No, but I think actually Kirby's got it right. So I think he's talking about Barbara saying where these.
Barbara,
where
yeah. Kind of,
That's not what you said, though. He didn't use the word Barbara in the sentence.
I think Kirby's got it.
Yeah,
I think he's right.
Give me a point.
No.
I think Kirby's got it right.
No.
It's Barbara. What
Barbara's trying to say was he got the tea party and the ready Indians and stuff like that. Right. So that's what he's trying to She's trying to say.
Shush. Nobody gets any points. Be quiet.
Never mentioned Barbara.
Yes. Nobody gets any points, and because Mary's so ill, she gets one. I changed my mind. Mary gets a point.
That's
right then. In fact, she even gets one of these with it. Shut up. Right. So, whose question was that? It was Kirby's, wasn't it? Well, Kirby's answer. Right, not many
sympathy
left.
Points, I'll take them anyway.
Mary?
I said sympathy points, I'll take them anyway.
I know you said that. I'm just going to ask you a question, or give you an answer, to be more precise. Right, the answer is, stop to pick daisies.
I know.
What does the doctor tell Susan and David not to do on their way to class?
Precisely. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
Why does the doctor want to stop the Daleks from piloting Earth out of the solar system?
Because it will upset the entire constellation.
Correct. Right. Andy.
Yep.
Who gives the Robomen the order to kill the Daleks?
Barbara.
I know.
Debbie?
Oh, guys, a doctor.
Is the correct answer. And...
Kill Daleks, do you hear?
Kirby.
Oh, Master.
The answer is to become a farmer.
What is David planning to do now that everything's over?
Is the correct answer. Right, and there's four questions left. So the scores are, at the moment, in last place with 9 points, it's Kirby. In third place with 10 points, it's Mary. In second place with 15 points, it's Andy. And in the lead with 21 points, it's Debbie. Four questions left of this round. Remember, though, there is a bonus round of questions coming up very shortly.
Yeah, which I'll fail miserably at, as usual.
Yeah, she always says that. Right, Mary.
Yes.
The answer is because the doctor double-locked the doors.
I know.
Why can't Susan get into the TARDIS?
Yep.
Correct. Debbie.
Yep.
What were Susan's last words to the doctor?
Oh, crikey.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's a corker, that is.
Oh, gosh, because I wrote all the others down. Oh, no. It's not about the shoe.
I'll give it a go if Debbie doesn't know.
Go on then, Andy.
I'll say something like, oh, grandfather.
No. The answer is, grandfather, I belong with you. Right. Andy.
Yep.
What is Susan holding in her hand as the TARDIS dematerialises?
Oh, it's the TARDIS key she drops.
Kirby, the last answer requires this question, or the question, you know, this one. It's Francis Chagrin. Right, so what's the question?
Chagrin.
All right, chagrin. Grief.
Since you always ask it, who composed the incidental music?
Yes.
Correct. Right. This
you're
is
right,
an exciting game because we're going into the bonus section of the show. And the scores are at the moment, by the way, before we move into this particular... beg your pardon, Debbie?
You're the lead, Debbie. What are you moaning about?
Well, let's see exactly how far in the lead she is. In the last place with 11 points... It's Kirby. In third place with 12 points, it's Mary.
Yay.
In second place with 17 points, it's Andy. And in the lead with 21 points, it's Debbie. Right.
I've never come bottom before, so I mean, goodness sake.
Now, this has not been mentioned on the show before, but I wrote a quiz book called The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book.
Really, did you?
Right,
where did you buy that from?
Refers...
Adam,
Oh, from Amazon and iTunes. If anybody refers to it while answering these questions, they will be disqualified from the whole quiz.
I do not have it up on the computer.
I did have to say like a Dalek. You won't get any extra points for that either.
I've never bought it either. I bought you both your novels, but I've never bought your quiz book.
Right. Now, I do have to remind you that I used it as source material for the Kanji T quiz.
So that's your excuse. Answer. Right then, for us. Okay, right. Mary?
Yes.
Right. What is the name of Donna Noble's father in the 10th Doctor story, The Runaway Bride? Is it Brian, Ray, Jeff, or Keith?
I think I know.
I want to say Brian.
Sorry, what answer did you come up with?
Brian.
No, it's not.
Kirby says he knows.
Jeff.
Yes, Jeff.
No.
It is Jeff.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Oh, God, I can't find my answers. Hang on. hang on, just put that over there like that. Right. Where's the answer? There they are. I found them now. Right, Debbie, in the first Doctor story, The Smugglers, where was the location footage shot? Was it Wales, Kent, Dorset, or Cornwall?
I know.
Was it Cornwall?
It was.
Yep.
Andy.
I knew.
Yep. You did. Well done, you've won.
That's a famous place for pirates, as we all know.
It's Andy, like Isle of Wight.
Never mind that. Andy.
That's me.
Who played the character Lynn Fitou in the fifth Doctor story, Four to Doomsday? Was it Bert Kwok, David Yip, Takeshi Kawara, or Takehiro, Oba, or another name I can't pronounce incorrectly?
Right, I'll go for the name you can't pronounce, actually. It's so Gordon, blimey. I would go with David Yip, the only one I've ever heard of.
Anybody know the correct answer? Oh, there's a Bert Kwok coming through there from Debbie is the correct answer. Right, Kirby.
Oh, Debbie's won anyway.
Kirby.
Master.
What Doctor Who story featured the character Count Grendel or Count Grendel, depending on what part of the planet you live on?
I think I know, actually.
I want to... What's the one with the Fourth Doctor and Romana?
Yep.
There was one with the Fourth Doctor and Romana?
Yes, it is. You're quite right, Kirby.
It's the one with the vampires, but what was the name of it? I don't remember the name. Sorry.
Oh, dear. Go on in, Andy.
Well, I was going to say the Andrew Zatara, but no, it's not actually, because it's the vampires one, and you're quite right, and I can't remember it either now.
The Androids of Tara.
It's Tara.
Yes, it was that.
What? It was what?
The Androids of Tara, as Andy quite rightly said.
So
I was right. I actually got it right. I thought it was wrong.
Andy got it right. Right, Mary.
See, that's not the vampire one, though.
No, you got it completely wrong. You said it was the vampire one.
But it was the vampire
one with Stones of Blood.
Oh, never mind.
Stones of Blood, no.
Mary.
Yes.
In what year was the fifth Doctor story, Warriors of the Deep, set? Was it in 2054, 2064, 2074, or 2084?
I know.
2054.
Andy?
2084.
Right. Debbie?
Yes.
In what... I've done that one. What character did James Saxon play in the sixth Doctor story, The Two Doctors? Was it Dastari, Oscar, Shokai, or Stike?
Oh,
I have no idea.
Oh.
Gordon Bennett.
I have no idea.
No, I don't... Yeah, no idea. Wild guess. I'll go for the wild guess.
Hang on. Let me answer the question, for goodness sake.
Stike?
Right, go on then, Andy.
Shokai, then.
No, it's Oscar.
I'm just sorry.
It was Oscar.
We got all got it wrong. Okay, yes. Fair enough.
Right, Andy.
Me again. Okay, keep going, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was Debbie's question last time.
Okay. Probably. I thought we'd run out of questions, but never mind. Okay.
No. Andy, yeah, sorry. You put me right off. What was episode 2 of the first Doctor story, The Celestial Toymaker, entitled? Was it Hall of Dolls, Celestial Toy Room, Final Test, Oh, God, I've put the same one down twice. Right, so was it one of those? Which one of those three was it?
Okay, can you run through, can you run
Hall of Dolls, Celestial Toy Room.
It wasn't the final test. It wasn't that one. What were the other two, please?
Hall of Dolls, Celestial Toy Room.
I know.
Hall of Dolls.
Bing.
I haven't seen it, so I
oh,
wouldn't
dear.
Know.
Right, Kirby.
I haven't seen it either.
Oh, Kirby.
Yes, Master.
Right, in the 10th Doctor story, The Next Doctor, how did Jackson Lake come to believe he was the Doctor?
There was an explosion of a info
that'll do,
thing.
That'll do. Info stamp was a phrase,
info
but it's near
stamp,
enough
yeah.
for me. Yeah, right. So are the scores then, after that first little round of bonus questions in this bumper edition of the show. Is in last place with 12 points, Mary. In third place with 14 points, it's Kirby. Second place with 21 points, it's Andy. And then the lead with 23 points. Though, sorry, 24
ooh, so
points.
Close.
24 points, sorry, is
Hang
Debbie.
Up.
Right. Yes, yeah, so the next question, now I've got to try and find it. Here we are. Right, it's for Mary. Right, Mary,
yes.
What was the all-female species in the first Doctor story Galaxy 4 called? Was it Huskins, Cladins, Dravins, or Ravins?
I know.
The third one.
The yeah. third one.
Yes.
I never saw Galaxy 4.
Yes, it was the third one. Dravins is the correct answer.
Yes.
Yay, lucky guess.
Right, it was. All right, Debbie.
Yeah.
What was the name of the woman who the Doctor inadvertently got engaged to in the first Doctor story, The Aztecs?
Oh, Christ. Oh.
No, it wasn't him.
No, it wasn't him.
I'm not going to give you the options because we've recently watched the story.
She was called something beginning with K, Clamaker?
Oh, that's near enough. I can't not give you that. That's good, yeah.
No,
yes. Right, Andy.
Hello.
Oh, where were we? Who directed the fourth Doctor story, Terror of the Zygons?
Oh, bloody elf.
Was it Douglas Camfield, Bill Sellers, Christopher Barry, or Melvin Pinfield?
It's Mervyn, by the way.
Oh, shut
you
up,
want
you.
To pronounce it properly.
Shut up.
I know.
Well, I'll go. Thank you. I'll go with Mervyn because I've got the faintest idea. So, Kirby, I'll go with Mervyn.
Go on then, Debbie.
No, I didn't say that was who it was.
Pardon?
Douglas Camfield.
See, that's who I would have guessed.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I haven't got a right. clue.
Kirby.
Zygon.
Master.
Right. In February 2013, BBC Worldwide confirmed that the missing episodes of What Second Doctor Story were to be animated for DVD release later in the year. Was it Web of Fear, Invasion, Underwater Menace, Ice Warriors?
I know.
Ice Warriors
is the correct answer. Right. Mary?
Yes.
Who played the captain in the fourth Doctor story, Pirate Planet? Was it Andrew Robinson, Bruce Purchase, David Warwick?
I can
or
answer.
Or Ralph Michael?
David Warwick.
No. Go on in, Kirby.
Bruce Purchase.
Correct.
Ding!
Right.
Ooh, thank you.
Debbie, hang on, let's get me questions. So
it's his favorite story.
Yeah, no, City of Death's my favorite. That my second favorite.
Okay.
Right. Hang on, bear with me. I've got to get me questions in the right position so I can't read them properly.
Oh, Mary!
While Mary disposes of her innards into a tissue. Right. Okay, right then. Who's this one for? Oh, this is for Mary, isn't it? It's me. Otherwise known as Debbie. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What story followed the third Doctor tale, Death to the Daleks, in March 1974? Was it Monster of Peladon, Invasion of the Dinosaurs, Planet of Spiders, or Time Warrior? No, it wasn't that one.
Oh.
I'm going to go with Time Warrior, but I think I'm wrong.
No.
Yeah.
Hang on. She said she thinks she's wrong, which she is. And you said, no, she isn't wrong. Well, she
I
is
know.
Wrong. Go,
because
hang
I
on.
Know what's before well, Time Warrior.
Hang on.
That.
Whoa. The fact that Kirby went no means he must know the answer. Sorry about that, Andy. Go on then, Kirby.
Aww. Okay.
Repeat the question, because I know that it wasn't
what
Time
What story followed the Third Doctor story, Death to the Daleks, in 1974?
I know.
Was it Monster Pelodon, Invasion of the Dinosaurs, Planet of Spiders, or Time Warrior?
It's either Monster
Pelodon. Oh, just answer the blimmin' question.
Monster Pelodon.
Eventually we get there. Right.
See, there are reasons that it wasn't Planet of the Spiders
or Time
Warrior.
It doesn't matter whether there are reasons or not.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
There are logical reasons.
Yes, okay. Andy, I presume this is your question now, because I'm losing the will to live.
You said Andy, so probably, well, I guess it is my question.
Well,
yes.
Was it Debbie's question last time? Before?
It was, yes.
Right, Andy, this is your question. What was the title of episode one of the First Doctor story, The Daleks? Was it Escape, Ambush, Dead Planet, or Daleks?
Dead Planet.
And sanity is restored. Right, Kirby.
Master.
Sorry, I just got to move the page up a bit. Right, what First Doctor story first used the stunt team Havoc, or HAVOC? Was it War Machines, Smugglers, Tenth Planet, or Web of Fear?
War Machines.
Anybody like to come in with the correct answer?
Give me the question again.
I know, but I can't answer.
Right.
Can I answer?
No. Right then.
I said Web of Fear.
Shut up. Right, Andy, you seem to want to answer this question. What First Doctor story first used a stunt team Havoc? Was it War Machines, Smugglers, Tenth Planet, or Web of Fear?
I'm going for Web of Fear.
God. It was The Smugglers. Right.
Web of Fear is a Second Doctor story.
Yeah. No one can see.
Yeah, no, that was the trick part of that question.
It's nearly 10 o'clock at night. I'm getting tired.
Oh, well, yes, right. Hang on. Whose actual question should that have been?
That was Andy.
Right, so Kirby.
No, it wasn't.
Who was it then?
It was Kirby's.
Therefore, we're back to Mary then. Thank goodness for this. Right, Mary, I'm going to give a score rundown just so as everybody can settle down for a moment. Right. Oh, God. In last place with 14 points is Mary. In third place with 18 points is Kirby. In second place with 23 points, it's Andy. And in the lead with 27 points is Debbie. Right then, Mary. Doctor Who story featured us some... Shut up!
Sorry.
What?
Jeez.
God!
You're making me sick.
What Doctor Who story featured a Sontaran called Stor? Was it Invasion of Time, Time Warrior, Sontaran Stratagem, or The Two Doctors?
Sontaran Stratagem.
No.
I know.
Go on in, Andy.
I'll go for Invasion of Time.
He is correct. Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What was the name of the character played by Stubby K in the Seventh Doctor story, Delta and the Bannerman? Was it...
Shut up.
Was it Schumacher, Wiseman, Schwarzkopf, or Weismuller?
Yeah, Kirby's got it.
Pardon, Debbie?
Hang on.
What?
What?
I can't remember.
Oh, dear. Right, then go on in, Kirby.
Weismuller.
Oh, she says it after she said she can't remember.
Too late. Yeah,
that's right.
No, she got it.
She got that's it. Right, no, we right changed answer, it to yeah. a... No, oh, do a very slow acting. Oh, there we go. Eventually, the machine's given the booming ghost on this one as well. Now, right, Andy.
Yep.
This is your last question, by the way. So make the most of it. Right. What nickname did the mad computer Wotan have for the Doctor in the First Doctor story, The War Machines? Was it the Clever One, Time Lord, Doctor Who, or John Smith?
I know.
Shout out.
Doctor Who.
Correct.
Hey.
Kirby. Master. Last question. And this will make all the difference. Right. Oops. Uh-huh. The character Garron, played by Ian Cuthbertson, featured in what Fourth Doctor story? I suppose I'm going to give you the
it's
options. The options are, shut up, the options are Creature from the Pit, Logopolis, Rebus Operation, or Horns of Nymon.
Creature from the Pit.
Right. Anybody want to come in with the right answer?
I think I know. Can you go on then? Can you do them again, please? The options.
Creature from the Pit, Logopolis, Rebus Operation, Horns of Nymon.
I would go with Horns of Nymon.
It was the Rebus Operation.
I was about to say...
Too late.
Well, you'd have won anyway, Debbie, so why worry?
So the final scores, thank goodness, are in last place with a very creditable 14 points, two of them given them for sympathy reasons. Mary.
which we bring up every time.
Sort of bring stuff up, not on this show. In third place with 18 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 26 points is Andy. And the winner this week with 29 points, and it wasn't that far off, is it? It was Debbie. Oh, what a change.
Last for what is.
Yes, indeed. Right then. A little couple of little extra things to fill in the rest of the show this week. One of which was something I found on Twitter, actually. Somebody sent me a link to a little audio dramatization, is that sort of word, of a thing called The Two-ish Doctors. And it was great fun.
Yeah, I saw where you posted it, but I didn't listen to it yet. Yeah. There is some news, by the way.
I'll do the news in a minute. I want to talk about The Two-ish Doctors, because it's something that I got a notification about quite a long time ago, and I sort of just left it in my notification bits on Twitter. And because I'm off at work this week, I actually had time to have a quick peek at it, because the chap who did it did actually ask me to have a quick peek at it. And, you know, you get these things through, and sometimes they're not particularly very good. But this is absolutely astoundingly good, in my view. And well worth a listen. The lads that voice the characters voice them so well that you can believe it's the 11th Doctor talking to the 2nd Doctor. Absolute brilliance. And it's not very long. We've got about 5 minutes to time to spare, which I'm sure most people have while sat on the loo or whatever. It's well worth listening to. And there is a link posted to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join somewhere. I might have to bump it up. How do I bump it up, Kirby?
Right.
Oh, good Lord. How do I bump the link that I posted about this up?
You just make a comment on it.
Good grief. Well, I can't find it. Oh, you'd have to find it for me. Right. So, yes, please have a listen to that, because... They've done a really good job on that.
Can you post a link, please?
What?
I'll bump it up.
Is that what you mean? Okay.
Right.
So, oh, that's right. You didn't. You just put out this random YouTube link that had no description whatsoever.
Shut up! I posted it as best I could because I was at work with my iPhone and I didn't have a computer to hand at the time.
So yeah, I'm going to have to search for it, but I'll push it for up.
Thank you very much. Yes. Right then. So we're going to welcome new members of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. We have Sean.
Don't forget the news.
Be quiet. We have Sean Bradshaw. We have Louisa Jane Wright. We have Nicholas.
That's a Cloutier, nice name.
And we have Edward Lawson. So welcome one and all to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which I hope you are listening to the show by. That makes
sense. Welcome to the world of insanity.
Yes.
Andy. We have Doctor Who news.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, go on. You seem quite keen on the...
Oh, well, it's because I posted it within minutes of the announcement that the... that Listen has been nominated for a Hugo Award in Best Dramatic Presentation Short Form.
Oh, yes. Good. That's really, really good. And I should hope so, too, that something from our most recent series gets some sort of recognition.
I have a feeling that the Game of Thrones episode is going to win, but...
Yeah, okay. Oh, what was that?
Yeah, what was that?
It's me getting Facebook things.
Oh,
it's Mary actually commenting on my dinner.
I thought I turned it off, so I was quite shocked to get that particular sound come from my ear.
Mary quite liked my dinner tonight.
Marvellous. Right, back to news.
Adam, you know how you post pictures of your holiday dinners?
Mm. I didn't do that today, and I had a holiday dinner today.
Oh, you should have posted it.
No, I was too busy eating it. Anyway, I heard some news, some rather nice news, in fact, that Doctor Who has been commissioned until 2020 at least. The BBC have confirmed that there will be Doctor Who will run at least till 2020 and probably beyond. So that's pretty good news for people who do Doctor Who podcasting, isn't it?
That is pretty good news, yeah.
The Big Finish Doom Coalition. Big Finish have announced that... Oh, I've got a burp coming.
Finish announces that. Yeah,
you lot have been announcing it for most of the show. Big Finish have announced that the new Eighth Doctor series, Doom Coalition, will be released in the autumn.
I wonder if listeners notice that when we're recording late in UK time, the burping level is increased exponentially.
Yes, it's because there's more likelihood of me drinking Stella during recording. starring Paul, what I need to say, Paul Weller, because it rhymes with Stella. Paul McGann as the Doctor and Nicola Walker as his companion, Liv Chenka. So, if you like your Big Finish stuff, that's a good thing to look forward to. I'm sure that means Mary will be looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, what else we got here? Oh, there was a very interesting... There was a very interesting programme on BBC 4, I think, or was it BBC 3? BBC 3, a couple of weeks ago, in which Tom Felton, who plays Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter films, went around and spent a few days as a super fan. So he joined some super fans outside places to get autographs from them. He went to conventions and comic cons just to experience what it was like to be a super fan and to try and understand why super fans are the way they are. And it was a really, really good programme, and it must have been a great thrill for the particular super fans who ended up meeting him as a result of the filming. And he tried to disguise himself, but Rupert Grint saw straight through the disguise, which was quite funny. And he did what... who plays Harry Potter, by the way? I've lost the plot.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe went to a Comic-Con dressed as Spider-Man, didn't he? So he got himself sort of disguised up a little bit to go to a Comic-Con. Really, really good programme. I don't think it's available anymore on iPlayer. But
what was it called?
It was Tom Felton Meets the Superfans.
I'd like to say as well, there's a really good program I listened to today on iPlayer.
Where's he gone?
Why are you talking from the other room, Andy?
Oh, sorry. I put my microphone up as my mouth. Because apparently you just me breathing, Adam.
I haven't heard you breathing on it for the whole episode.
I'll be at the microphone and put it away. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
On iPlayer, it's a very good play. It's called Far Side of the Moor, and it's a play about Patrick Moore and his first starting doing the Sky at Night with Tom Hollander, who plays Rev in the thing. And it's a very good play. Listen to it today. It's on for another day, so go listen to that. Really good plays to listen to. Okay. So go listen to that, please, blokes.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Peter Capaldi... appeared at the Doctor Who Experience.
Capaldi.
Shut up. To surprise some fans. There's a video of that on DoctorWhoNews.net.
Yes, it's a fun thing to watch.
Yeah. There's been a big hoo-ha because Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones is going to be in Doctor Who.
New companion.
You reckon?
Sticking with the pointy end.
You reckon?
Please, yes. A new companion. Please.
Oh, poor companion old Jenna. I've got a picture of Jenna on my mantelpiece, as Debbie hasn't seen yet.
Is it the one from Room at the Top, by any chance?
Huh? What are you on about?
Jenna Coleman, she was in Room at the Top.
What's that got to do with the picture of her on my mantelpiece?
Well, I just wondered, is it the picture from Room at the Top where she, perhaps we saw a bit more than we could have seen.
No, it's a picture of me, Deb, and Isabella with her.
You didn't say that though, Adam, did you?
Yeah. Anyway, right, what else have we got? Official walking tour returns to Cardiff. I want to go to that. Doctor Experience in Cardiff.
I'm sure it's only a couple of hours from you. Go.
It takes an hour to get across the Solent, Kirby, so it's hardly going to be a couple of hours. Doctor Experience in Cardiff Bay celebrates the Easter holiday with the return of official Doctor Who filming locations tour. Actually, no, I wouldn't like to go on that. I've been around Penarth, I used to live there.
I like Capaldi's Easter message today.
Capaldi!
Shut up! yes, new project seeking submissions for Doctor Who short story anthology. Yes, or not? That's not what you were talking about, but I thought it was. Yeah, Doctor Who on BitTorrent legally. BBC Worldwide had BBC Worldwide has announced a new collaboration. Oh God, I've got to stop drinking this stuff. With content distribution. Can you say this one, Debbie? Because I'm losing the will to speak at the moment.
What are you trying to say? Because I'm not got it up.
Oh, I'll have to try again. Right, BBC Worldwide. You haven't got it up.
That's what she said.
It interferes with my Skype and I end up sounding like shit.
Okay. BBC Worldwide has announced that a new collaboration with content distribution service, a difficult thing to say that, even when you're sober, BitTorrent, to mark a decade of new Doctor Who. Celebrate.
What a strange collection.
What a strange collection of words that they've put to make this make it very difficult for me to read. Yes, Rose, Empty Child, A Far Go in the Fireplace, Blink.
But Rings of Singing?
Yeah, no. Yes, a very strange collection of programmes on their torrent. Yes, Fourth Doctor's Scarf, Easter Offer.
I have every single one of those.
What, the scarves?
But I want to know the things that they're offering for the in that package. I mean, why would I want to buy them again?
I don't know. Anyway, the Fourth Doctor Scarf Easter offer. You can get one of them for 10% off the retail price from our old friends, the Vasi. If you want to take advantage of that, it'll probably be finished by the time this show comes out with the code DOCTOR10. Unfortunately, it does end tonight, so that's not going to work.
£70? Ouch!
I've got one hanging off my thing. It didn't cost me £70 because I got it for half the price. Because my original scarf was fraying, and Melinda let me have one as a replacement for half price. He said, "Oh, if I bought it through Amazon, I would have got it back replaced for free." Yeah,
I've got a crocheted Fourth Doctor scarf. I don't think that I had it when we last recorded. One of my coworkers just called me over to her desk. I thought I was going to be answering a programming question, and she said, "Here." And she handed me a crocheted, not knitted, crocheted Fourth Doctor scarf.
It's very nice of her too.
It's really cool.
And by the way, Kirby, you might not be aware of this. Last bit of news is that Listen has been nominated for a 2015 Hugo Award.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, news to you, isn't it?
Seeing that my wife was in charge of giving the Hugo Awards in 1991, yes. I kind of pay attention to Hugo Awards. Hmm. She was in charge of special events at the 5th Chicago Worldcon.
Excellent. Whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
It is.
Really? Whowon.co.uk?
They've still got our old...
Who do they sponsor?
Us.
Some podcast.
Yes. And the funny thing is, Debbie still hasn't been there and threatened them with a baseball bat because they've still got the old graphic on.
The baseball bat.
Clearly not.
Nicely.
Yeah, well, obviously it wasn't nice enough because they've left the old one on there.
Right. I'll go in and speak to him again then.
What did he say when you asked him?
Said, you are aware that you've got the wrong banner for our podcast on that? Oh, yeah. No, I've got the other one. It's like, cool. Can you put it on?
Yes. Well, that didn't work, did it? You have to use more tougher measures to ensure this happens. Right then. Apparently, you can get this 500-piece jigsaw, £10.99. If you like jigsaws, hey, I'll get one of them for Isabella. She likes the jigsaws. You can get an umbrella, TARDIS umbrella, £11.99. Not particularly a good product
in
the summer.
I like the TARDIS backpack. My backpack's giving up the ghost, so I'm going to go and get a TARDIS one.
That's a good idea. You can get a mini mug set. Maybe one if it's mini enough to stick egg cups in it. Eggs, and not eggs. Not egg cups, eggs. Easter eggs. Talking of Easter eggs, I've got loads of them here. I've got a Cadbury's Mini Eggs Easter egg, which I've swapped with Isabella, who doesn't like mini eggs. So she's got my Cadbury's Dairy Milk one, and I've got my Mini Eggs one. And Isabella went for a Cow's Carnival Easter egg hunt. Easter egg hunt? Yesterday at St. Faith's Church, and picked up 10 Cadbury's cream eggs. And doesn't like Cadbury's cream eggs, so who do you think has benefited from that?
Me!
No, it's me, funny enough. And the fact that I found four of them myself, I think it's only fair that I got all of those anyway. Back to who won.
Cream eggs.
That was only because I got deviated from because of thinking of egg cups and mini mug sets that you can get from whowon.co.uk. Dalek plate. You can get a ceramic Dalek plate for $5.99.
If you eat off of it, do you get exterminated?
<Mm-mm>. You touch anything on it.
Yeah, that's
God's sake. We haven't had one this episode, have we? Oh, the computer doesn't want to play it. So there you go. I think that says it all. Right, Dalek bowl. Ceramic Dalek bowl for eating
that's
out your
breakfast. Yes,
to eat your breakfast out of, $5.99. Excellent little product, those. And of course, as per usual, the latest issue of Doctor Who magazine, 485, with a picture of Peter Capaldi on the cover.
Yes, that's correct.
Capaldi. Well, actually, it's Capaldi, according to Zoe Ball, who actually presented him to the world a couple of years ago.
It's Capaldi.
Right, then.
He says his own name,
Debbie.
I would use that.
Does Peter Capaldi pronounce it as Capaldi or Capaldi?
I think he pronounces it Capaldi.
Do you? Don't. He says no.
Okay.
Kirby says no.
Oh, well.
Right.
I'll find something.
You're an honorary Scots person. You need to find out. Right.
My wife's part Scots.
Is she? How does she pronounce it?
I've known Alaska.
Okay.
Alaska.
Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska, yeah.
I have a friend in Hawaii.
Yeah.
What's that? What is Scotland?
God's sake. I've got one thing to say to you lot. Mine was more.
Things are going downhill there.
Yeah, it's because it's running downhill towards the end of the show.
When are we recording next?
Next Sunday, I would imagine. Next Sunday will be the 12th of April, in which I'm available to record. I'm actually off all week this week. And the next story is the rescue. It's only a two-parter.
I've never seen it. Looking forward to it.
Right, the reason I can't do it on Tuesday this week because I've got to take the dogs for their haircut in Shanklin. I can't do it on Wednesday because I'm going to the Mayfair Theatre in Southampton to watch some musical called Spamalot, which I've been looking forward to for a very long time.
So jealous.
Thursday.
Do you have to push the pram a lot?
Pardon? Hang on, this is for Kirby. Yeah, go on then. What did you say, Debbie?
It's not me saying it, someone
else.
What
did you say, Andy? No, he's gone all quiet, fair enough. Right,
hello again.
Capaldi. Yeah, Capaldi, it's what we said, didn't we, Debbie?
Deborah, what does the L stand for in your name, by the way?
You can't just...
What's that got to do with it?
Louise. Yes? I'm just curious, because my second initial is L as well.
Louise, I don't think yours is Louise.
No, it's Leslie.
Master, yes. You cannot go out and just pick a random YouTube video that doesn't do it right. You need to, for instance, there is a YouTube video where Stephen Moffat says it. So,
why are you blaming me?
It's blaming me.
No, she said master. That's blaming me.
I always say master.
To get your attention.
Right, anyway, I was going on about my calendar for this week. Right then, so I'm free on Thursday, but I'm not going to record it on then. Friday, I'm staying at the Brunswick Hotel with my lovely lady wife. On Saturday, I've got a photo shoot with a future bride and a meeting with another future bride.
Are you getting married again, are you?
Shut up. On Sunday, I'm still on holiday, so we could essentially do it on Sunday. Well, yeah, we could do it earlier on Sunday, if you so wish.
No,
not okay. Really, yeah. Get Isla to bed.
All right, so it'll be same time next week then. And we're going to be doing the rescue, but in slightly more detail than we have in recent times.
I'll have to check with the boss. I'll have to check management first.
Yes, okay. So, okay, is that all right with anyone at the moment? It's penciled in.
Yeah.
12th of April, the rescue. Is that all right with you, Mary?
Yeah. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
Didn't get
8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes, 8 o'clock. Yes, sorry, Mary. What were you saying?
We could do it earlier. No. The problem with doing it earlier is some of us have to try to do... See, 8 o'clock to you, your day is over.
Mm. Here we go.
We are doing it at 3 in the afternoon, and I had to do all sorts of stuff beforehand. I was out moving hostas and building a raised flower bed and stuff like that.
Why not do it 6 o'clock hour? Say 6 o'clock hour time. That's 1 o'clock your time. They took the whole afternoon.
Okay.
But I've got other things to do.
Yeah. Okay.
seriously can't make it.
Okay. All right. It's always going to be 8 p.m. unless there's a convention that we need to go early, right. earlier for.
Yeah.
Which we've penciled in, Kirby.
Yes, and I can't do any earlier than 6:30 at any convention. Unless I just happen to be off that Sunday, which hardly ever happens. I'm only off these two Sundays because it's Easter Sunday, and we're shut. Next week I'm on holiday. But not normally on holiday.
I've given you the advance notice.
Because the moon's beautiful tonight.
Oh, God, I'll do that. I wish I had a times 1.7 teleconverter so I could actually take a decent picture of it.
That is absolutely gorgeous tonight.
Okay, I'll have a look at that in a minute. Anyway, so until next week, thank you for listening to the show and putting up with
us. Easter egg.
Excuse me, I'm trying to say goodbye to people. Thank you for listening to the show and putting up with us. No thank you for the people from ConGT who promised to send in feedback and not send it.
Hey, do not insult ConGT.
I didn't insult anyone.
Might be there in a year or two.
Yeah, but the thing is, we're acknowledging that they said they would.
Yes. Thank you, Mary. Mary gets an extra point for...
a bunch of part-timers.
For backing me up. Right. So, until next week, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Be seeing you.
So long, and thanks for all.
Podcast is an APB Services production and of a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.